Sure do love you this evening. Not near as what I ought to, but Lord, I want to try. I want to try to love you more every day. And Lord, you've been so good. Lord, the blessings that you allow me to have, me and Becky even talked today. Lord, to watch Cheryl Ann and Hannah sing together. Lord, that's just a great blessing. It's just one of them things you do. It, you just give us a little bit of dessert on the way, and Lord, we sure do thank you for it all. Thank you for a church. Thank you for a word. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to pray. Lord, I thank you that we can call on you, that you're real, that you're not some story, you're not a figment of my imagination, that you're real. I know you and you know me. That's even more important. And Father, I need your help now. Touch me fresh. If you would, preach me as you see fit. Speak to our heart, open our mind, open our heart. May the word of God talk to us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name, and amen. Last Sunday night, we preached about preached to the men, mainly preached to the mighty men, and we preached about us being a spiritual church, correct? Remember that? Anybody remember that?
Yes.
And as we preached about us being not just a church, but a spiritual church, we're not secular people, we're spiritual people. And we need to have a spiritual church, one that is Holy Ghost led, not us led, but Holy Ghost led. And I was asked a question after church about worship. And it has laid on me all week long. And we have liberty of the Lord maybe to try to, this has nothing to do with next Sunday morning's message, but this is just a thought about worship tonight. We fail a lot of times to get everything God has for us. It ain't because he don't offer it. It's because we don't dip in the pot. It's there. And a lot of times we find ourselves licking the rim or licking the spoon instead of getting down in where the pot's at and what's in where the good's at, you know. And the Lord's better than we think he is. He's bigger than we can comprehend him to be. He's more powerful than we can say. We don't have enough words to describe how powerful he is. Now we know this, but yet we sit. Yet we don't share. Sometimes, sad to say, we're worried about a clock when we come to church. The clock is only for one purpose, and that's to start by. That's the only thing a clock in a church is for, is to start by. And we don't even do that half the time. Because we're fellowshipping and talking. We never start early. If anything, we're on time or late. But that ought to be our only thought, is when we get to come together. Come together as a body. Come together as a family. And come together for a purpose to worship and praise the Lord. Do you know, we spend a lot of time preaching to the lost because there's lost here. And I'm obligated. If I know there's lost here, then I'm obligated to preach. But I don't ever prepare the message just for that. I mean, I try to give as God gives. And if somebody's lost and wonderful, they come in on it. But I just try to mind the Lord. But what we ought to do is preach the message to the lost out there. And make sure all the sheep are fed good in here. That's what we ought to be preaching. Are you with me so far? And as we do that, then it's going to take more from us. You understand? Instead of me just telling you what to do, then somewhere we're going to have to do it. You know? And tonight I want to look at worship, if you would. I want to look at just worship. Just a question about worship. I was asked, how do we worship? Teach us how to worship. What is worship? And I as I got to looking, I'm wondering if we ain't got mixed up on a little thing. If we ain't got some confusion ourselves on what worship. Now, Sunday morning I'm going to preach on apostasy. Next Sunday morning I done told you, and it's going to be contending for the faith in worship. But that's not got nothing to do with tonight, maybe. Or maybe it does. We'll see. But we want to look at see what God has. Turn to Psalms 29. We'll read you a few verses to get started, and then I want you to listen carefully. Psalms 29. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. Psalms 29, verses 1 and 2. Says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says we ought to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When we talk about worship, we're talking about coming into his presence. We're talking about coming into where he's at, even though he lives inside, but we come for corporate worship. But can I tell you, somebody might be worshiping beside you and your mind's a million miles from nowhere. But the person beside you ain't said a word, but they're in worship. They're worshiping the Lord. Worship is not always loud. In fact, worship is probably more quiet than it is loud. When we talk about worship. Because we can confuse worship and praise. We can confuse the two. Worship tonight is what we all, if we're a believer, that we all ought to be practicing regularly. Worship. Worship at home, worship in the car, worship in the shower, worship at work, worship in the mines, worship in the truck, driving truck. You can worship anywhere. Worship in the church, though, seems to be what's necessary. Maybe the one place that we ought to praise and worship is the one place we don't praise and worship. Can I tell you, if we don't know how to worship at church, I doubt we do at home.
Right.
And vice versa. If we don't at home, I doubt we do at church. And if we don't praise at church, I'm doubting we praise anywhere else. Because man-fearing spirit is why we don't praise at church. And if we're afraid to do it around our Christian brothers and sisters, I doubt that we'd be willing to do it where the world's at, where the world hates God. So we want to distinguish maybe between the two. But it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. We got to remember that he's holy. And if we're going to present ourselves to him, then we ought to make sure that we're holy. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. And we ought to think about the thought of maybe being clean when we present ourselves to him to worship the Lord of glory. So just think about that to start with. Turn to Psalms, if you would, again, in Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Is everybody still with me?
Yes, sir.
Psalm 95. And look at verse 6. Psalm 95 and verse 6 says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. It says, come, oh come, let us worship and bow down. You realize to worship, you're going to have to bow down. You say, well, should I bow down physically? It don't hurt nothing.
Amen.
It don't hurt nothing. Huh? But we ought to make sure that we're bowed down in our heart. If we're not going to bow down physically, we better make sure that we're bowed down, at least in our heart. But what does it hurt to bow down? What does it hurt to get on our knees and bow our head? What does it hurt to move out of our seat and worship at the altar? What does it hurt to worship in our pew where we're at? What does it hurt to bow our heads or get down between the seats or down in the aisle? What does it hurt to fall from our standing that we have to bow ourselves down, because it's just the Lord of glory that we're talking about. It's just God. It's just the Creator. It's just he who's above all. He's the Lord. There is none else. There's nobody else like him. I mean, think about that bowing down. I mean, that's just what it says there, is it not? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let us kneel. See, so maybe you can't just bow down in your heart. Maybe you do have to come off our high horse and kneel down and worship. Huh? Years ago, me and Cheryl and the girls had to sing. Cheryl and Tristan, Sherry sung. We all went to some place, went somewhere. We stopped at Princeton for coffee. You remember? And we seen them Muslims come in.
Yes.
And we was there waiting in line for coffee. And these Muslims come in and unrolled their magic carpet. And they knelt down. And they didn't care. They placed all everywhere. I never had seen it done like this. They unrolled a carpet. And they bowed down. Because it was time. And they bowed down and worshipped a false god.
Yeah, they did.
And we had to get out of the way. You remember? We had to get out of the way because they unrolled. I mean, they unrolled 8 foot of carpet, that wide eight. I mean, and they never cared, never bothered them, never entered their mind that anybody else was there. And I told everybody, if you remember, I told everybody we was all standing. There was only 8 or 10 of us standing. I said, "Boy, we've lost to them." We've lost it because they bowed down. They bend the knee, nailed down and worshiped, and their God's dead. And my God's alive. And my God's real. And their God's not real. And my God is real. And yet we fail to worship. We fail to worship. Drop down to chapter 96 there, Psalm 96, and look at verse 6. Or verse 9, I'm sorry. Verse 9. It says, "Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Well, we just said that, didn't we? "Fear before Him, all the earth." Oh, worship the Lord. They didn't say praise the Lord. They said, "Oh, worship the Lord." The reason they didn't say praise the Lord, because it's not the same. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. If I look up the word worship, we're going to be interested in seeing. You know, Jesus told the woman at the well that if you're going to worship, you're going to have to worship God in spirit and in truth in John chapter 4. You're going to have to worship Him in spirit and in truth. When I preached last Sunday night about us being spiritual, you can't worship God other than through the Holy Spirit and with the Holy Spirit. But yet He resides inside of our heart. So it ought not be hard to worship another part of the Godhead if part of the Godhead lived inside. Should not be hard at all, should it? Because He's already there. And we just let Him have His way as the Spirit honors the Father, as the Son honors the Father, and the Spirit honors the Father. Is this not true? Think about it. But let's look. If I look up the word worship, now I want you to listen carefully. Listen very carefully. It says worship to adore. To pay divine honors. To honor with extravagant love. Huh? And extreme, listen, submission. If we're going to worship, worship is to adore. To adore. You want to go to worship? A month or so ago, I put out a call on Sunday morning and I told you, bring your worship with you. Remember? Remember when y'all got that on the phone message? Bring your worship with you. Because I can't worship for you. I can't worship for you. Because it's about love. It's about my love to Him. To adore. To adore, to pay divine honor, to honor with extravagant love. And I said, well, what's extravagant mean? And it says, there's no amount too much. If you look up the word extravagant, it means there's no amount too much. There's no cost too great. That's what extravagant. So if I'm going to adore with extravagant love, then there's no cost too great for me to give my love to the Lord. We still okay? Now, if I look up the word adore, it says to love in the highest degree, to regard with the utmost esteem of affection and respect. If worship means adore with extravagant love, to give him extravagant love, that means to blow it all on him.
Yeah.
Huh? All you got to give to him.
Yeah.
And I wonder then if we don't worship, the question was asked, maybe we don't know how to worship. Maybe this is part of it. Maybe we do know how to worship and we don't, but maybe we don't realize that to worship is to give him our extravagant love. The all we got inside that he deserves. We still okay? No, that's worship. But then I looked up praise. What does praise mean? Praise means the commendation bestowed upon a person for his personal virtues or worthy action in word or song. Well, I said, well, that makes sense. I know a lot of songs that talk about how worthy he is and all these personal virtues. And I mean, I started in my mind, like Cheryl. If you sit by Cheryl in church, Cheryl talks all the time during church. If you don't. But I tell you what she's talking about. She ain't talking, just mumbling. Somebody will say a verse, she said, Rick was teaching, and Cheryl's singing me different songs. You know, said something about him coming. He's coming again. That's what she said. And said something about love. And she just starts naming off all, and she's singing in my ear for whoever's preaching or teaching, because that's what she's getting out, because she's praising. She's with it now. She ain't missed nothing. But if you ever sat by her, you have, ain't you?
She tells him to leave.
Yeah. See? Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. But it's in song. It's okay. We're talking about praise. We're talking about praise. See, I think we understand praise more than we do worship. I think it's easier to praise than it is to worship. But he deserves our worship. Okay? But it's okay to praise him. In fact, there's hundreds of verses that says praising. But he really wants us to worship him. We still okay?
That's good.
Now let's look on. Commendations bestowed on a person for his personal virtues or worthy action in word or song. The expression of personal gratitude for personal favors. That's what praise is. No, I said, well, that makes sense. I can handle that. I understand that completely, right? The expression of personal gratitude for personal favors. Well, we do that all the time. We hear that all the time, don't we? Becky just did it there a while ago. We had others just done that. Teddy did it there just a while ago. We do it. Huh? We thank him for them special favors.
Right, that's right.
And we mean it. And we're thankful and we praise him for them special favors. Huh? Do you know for what he done today? I thank him. Now, Cheryl Ann has glowed. Yesterday her and Hannah practiced. And she is glowed and excited. And she glowed. You sit there, you just glow. Because you've always, when the babies was born. Oh, I hope they'll be able to sing with me someday. He answered that. They all went and sung in a revival the other night. You and Hannah. And God answered that. And you've been thanking him for them special favors. We sat there the other night there in the recliners, and you was thanking him. You was praising him for them special favors. Huh? It's okay. See, we got a lot of them. How many favors you got you can just go and thank him for? Boy, ain't he been good. Huh? Man, a favor after favor after favor that he's bestowed on us and give us. That's praise. But it ain't worship. Let's look on. See, what I've determined that worship is because of who he is. That's love. But praise is because of what he's done. That's grateful. Well, there's a big difference there. Now, there ain't nothing wrong with praising Him. Keep on and do more. Huh? Because it's exciting to hear what He's done for you. It's okay what He done for you 50 years ago. If He saved you 50 years ago, that's wonderful. But what did He do with for you this morning? What did He do this week? I'll just go ahead and tell you, if He ain't done nothing since you got saved, I'd trade Him in and find me another. Because you got the wrong one. I tell you, the one I got, been doing, he's shoveling every day. Huh? He's shoveling, and his shovel's a whole lot bigger than mine. I'll shovel to him in a number two dirt shovel, and he shovels back in a number four coal shovel. Huh? That's how big he is. Are you hearing me? But that's praise. When I think about worship, worship has nothing to do with stuff. Now we come into worship and we'll make it about stuff. We'll worship Him because we got a good house, good job, because everybody's healthy, because we got everything lined out, and we call that worship. And we'll tell Him, Lord, I sure do thank You. And we'll talk to Him, and we'll thank Him, and thank Him, and thank Him, and thank Him. But that ain't worship. The reason I know that stuff ain't worship is turn over to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. And stuff ain't got a thing to do with worship. If I start at verse 13 in the book of Job, can I read it to you right quick? It says, and there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating, this speaking of Job's sons and daughters, they were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and asses feeding beside them. Let me back up. I'm right. And there came a, we'll go back to 14. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plying, the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yeah, they slain the servants with edge of sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Judeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, that I only am escaped to tell thee. He lost everything he had in fewer minutes than it took me to read it. He lost everything he had. And look at verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And what'd he do? He worshiped. But it wasn't because of his stuff. Because he lost everything he had. But he worshiped. But he worshiped. It ain't stuff. Stuff is what we praise Him for. But stuff ain't what we worship Him for. Huh? You don't have to have stuff to worship Him tonight. We okay? Praise has to do with His ability and His generosity. Huh? We still okay? 145. Psalms 145. Psalms 145. I'll read fast if you'll listen fast. Listen. Psalms 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Why? Huh? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Huh? Drop down to verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. slow to anger. Hey, that's something to praise Him for, ain't it? Huh? And have great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Huh? Thy kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations, and the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfy. Oh, praise the Lord right there. Thou openest thy hand and satisfy desire of every living thing. Hey, when did He open His hand last for you and give you just a little bit, huh? He opened up His hand today and give you just a little bit. He supplied your need. He gave you food. He gave you raiment. He gave you breath. Hey, but He walked with you and talked with you, helped you along the way. Hey, He's worthy of the praise tonight. But that ain't worship. That's praise. But it's good, though. Ain't it? Verse 18. The Lord is nigh. What a wonderful thing. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. To all that call upon Him in truth, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him.
Yeah.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
I praise Him. Why don't y'all go help me?
Yeah.
Hi, help me. I need help in here tonight.
Yeah.
He also will hear their cry and will save them.
Yeah.
Look at, hey, the Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but all the wicked He'll destroy. Huh? My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. That's praise. That's praise. But it ain't worship. But it's good praise. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Huh? Are we okay? How about we turn over? Can we go ahead and read 146? You don't mind if I read the Bible a little bit, do you? Praise ye the Lord. Well, go ahead.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Yeah.
While I live. That'd be a good time to do it. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God. How deep a Father's love toward us. That's what it is, huh? I will sing praise unto my God while I have any being. I like that. I'll praise my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, huh? Nor in the Son of Man, in whom there's no help. His breath goes forth. He returned to His earth. In that very day His thoughts perish, huh? Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. I ain't going to trust no man. I'm just going to trust the Lord, huh? How come? Well, He made heaven and earth. He made the sea. And all that therein is. He made them little shrimp, and He made them crawl, them all them little crawdads in the creek, and He made them catfish, and He made all them all them little things. Them little tiny seahorses and them little tiny things. I probably told you before, I've never seen no beauty better. Years ago, 2002, me and Cheryl and Tristan, some of us went on a gospel cruise, and me and Tristan decided, I just had a heart attack. It was so funny. And we decided we was going to go snorkeling. Well, I didn't have enough breath to blow up a sandwich bag. And we were going to go snorkeling. And we was in Cozumel, Mexico. And we was there, and me and Tristan get out in the water with no air tank, and we're going to go snorkel. Do you know that's the dumbest thing? One of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life. And I had one of these little tiny Mexican boys. He wasn't that tall, and had a bag full of hot dog buns. You remember Tristan? And he poked holes in it, and he jumped down. He didn't have nothing on, no snorkel or nothing. He just bailed down in that water, and he busted up that, and millions of fish come up to our face. And I've never seen colors. I've seen the prettiest, brightest yellows and blues and reds as them fish come up to my mask, and I'm there trying to breathe through that tube sticking up out of the water. Huh? You remember? Oh, I mean, beauty. Never saw the coral. So I've never saw nothing like it. But them fish, they come right up to you. I mean, just they zoom right up to you. Then they'll fan out. Man, they look like they were that tiny. Then they be that big, and they be that. I mean, colors, flowers. I told them the flowers ain't got no color compared to them fish that's in that ocean. And he made them.
Yeah.
And he put all the dots on them.
Right.
And he turned their lips up just right. And he made them fan out. Hey, that's the God that lived inside of me tonight. Huh? Think about that. Huh? Which made heaven and earth. I'm on verse 6. The sea and all that therein is. Wow. Which keepeth truth forever. Which executes judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth. Can I get amen right there? The Lord looseth the prisoners. Anybody here been set free? Anybody here had any chains removed? What if I just go and get a praise of somebody that said, my chains are gone. Hallelujah, my chains are gone. That's praise. It ain't worship, but it's praise. I'll take praise. Hey, it ain't for me, but it's for him. The atmosphere has changed. The atmosphere has changed in here because we done praising him. Ain't that wonderful? I praise the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Right. How about verse 8? The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. I got any blind people can see in here tonight. I once was lost. I once was blind. Then he takes care of those that they can't see under with their natural eyes too. The Lord raises them that are bowed down and are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. Is that not wonderful to you? We could read forever, but we're not going to. But oh, the Bible is so good. Read it. Read it. If you'd read it right, you'd run around your house. I'm telling you, if you'd read it right, if you'd read it right, you'd run around your living room with your Bible and you wouldn't have the idiot box on. You'd run around your living room with the Bible and you'd be saying, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And people look in and said they're nuts and you won't care. How about Psalms 40? Can we read there for a minute? Now we're just going to praise him. Now y'all get in on it if y'all want to. I'm going to go ahead and enjoy it. I waited patiently for the Lord. But he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of him, they are more that can be numbered. Oh, I just want you to know, ain't nobody like him tonight, and he's good, and glory to the Lord, and praise his holy name for all that he is, for all that he brings, for all that he gives, for just being God. You can't beat him tonight. You can't beat him. That's praise. And we ought to praise the Lord. Man, if we can't praise him in here, you ain't going to praise him at Go-Mart pumping gas. You ain't going to praise him in a backed up line or the self-checkout at Walmart. You better practice praising him here. Hallelujah. for the goodness of God. But that ain't worship. But that ain't worship. That's praise. Praise is good. Whew. Praise is good. Anybody here like praise? I like getting in a praise service. Huh? We still okay. See, I'm afraid though people fail to praise because they expect these gifts. So that's why sometimes we don't praise. People fail to praise sometimes because the amount of gifts. Not because they're few, it's because they're many. Christmas at the Secret's house is a shame. It's really a disgrace. We think it's good, but it's really a disgrace. Because the kids get too much. And the littler the kid, the less praise that goes on. Because the littlest always get the most. And they don't have time to thank you. And they open one, and they open another, and they open another. And sometimes that's why we don't praise. Because we got too much. And we forget to praise. But if we cut her down to one gift, like on the buses, and they hold that gift and they don't want to open it because that's the only one they're going to have. Or they're so happy when you give them it, no matter whether it's a Nerf gun or a ball. But the ones that don't open their gift because it's so precious, they'll praise and they'll thank you. We still okay? But we get so much from God, we forget to thank Him. Look at what you got. Sure, look what we got. It's a shame. It's a dirty shame. These clothes I'll never wear. It ain't because I'm too good to wear them. I don't go nowhere to wear them. I'm pretty well satisfied. I got a blue chamois work shirt and breeches. That's what I'd sooner wear. I got other clothes. That's what I wear if I'm not here. I got on a blue chamois work shirt and jeans. When I'm here, I don't go out and buy a bunch of suits. I hate a suit. I hate a tie. Huh? So I don't buy them. Huh? I'll wear them till they're threadbare and worn, and I got to, or I just can't. There's just too much of me to put in one. Huh? Sometimes that happens. And if y'all notice what I wear, then that's just y'all's problem because I'm content. I'll wear this suit tonight. I'll wear it Wednesday. I'll have Cheryl wash it. We'll iron the coat. We'll iron them up. And I'll wear them again Wednesday. I don't care. I don't have a closet full of dress shirts. Why would I need more? I can't wear one at a time anyhow. I'm not thankful for what's in my closet. I've never stood in my closet and said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Have you? Have you ever went through your shoes and thank you for the brown pair, and thank you for the black pair, and thank you for the red pair, and thank you for the blue pair, and thank you for the beige pair, and thank you for the white pair, and thank you for the black one's got buckles, thank you for the black one's got strings, thank you for the black one's a slip on. I mean, have you ever done that? We don't do that. We don't do that. Thank you for the red tie. Thank you for the blue tie. Thank you for the speckled tie. Thank you for the striped shirt, the pinstripe shirt, the dotted shirt, the plain shirt. We don't do that. We just put them on and go. Sometimes we don't praise, huh? Because we expect the gifts. Sometimes we don't praise because of the amount of the gifts. And sometimes we don't praise because we're bored with the gift. It's the same old stuff. We get the same old stuff. You know, we get the same old stuff from God. You know. You know, every now and then we'll be real spiritual and we'll thank Him for a breath when we get up. But usually we're too interested in the world to thank Him for a breath. Kind of expect it's kind of boring. We say the blessing to table because we're taught to say the bless the table, but are we really thankful for them hard eggs that we wanted running? What I tell you here the other week, you know, to tell the wife you want a scrambled egg and a fried egg, and you're mad because you scrambled the wrong one. I mean, is that not how we are? Really? That's sometimes probably don't praise. Are we getting this tonight? But that still ain't worship. Now I'm saving right down to the last before you understand what worship is. See, we praise because of what we receive. But worship has nothing to do with what we receive. Worship only is what we give. Worship is only what we give. All right, now I want all the couples, I want y'all to listen close now. You young ones don't know yet. You're thinking maybe, but you don't know yet. When I fell in love with you, Cheryl, when I fell in love with you, you never gave me nothing. You never done nothing. You never said nothing. You never talked. But I loved you. Because of who you are. When we courted, I had no money to give you. We couldn't afford to go out and do nothing. It was me and you and Paul Jean. That was our courting. That's how we courted. Me, Cheryl, and Paul Jean sitting like where Lindsay was. The couch was about that long. And that's how it was. Every Friday, every Saturday, and then on Sunday, we could sit in church together. No money, no gifts, just us. And I fell in love with you because of who you are. Because of what I saw in you. For the time that I wanted to give you. See, what I done is I adored you. What I done and still do, I worship you. I worship the ground you walk on. You're everything to me. You know that. I've tried to tell our boys how to love their wives. I've never expect nothing from you. I never ask nothing of you. I just want you. I worship you. I worship you and I want our time. I worship you. I want to hold your hand. I worship you and adore you. You don't have to talk. You don't have to. You don't have to cook and bake. You don't have to do nothing. All I want is you. But I adore you. There is nobody else. There's never been nobody else. There's never been nobody else. There's never been a thought of no one else. Because I adore you. You remember? You remember your spouse? You remember when you didn't have nothing? Hey, some of us, we didn't have two nickels rubbed together. Huh? Friday night had come, I wanted to go see Cheryl. My papa Bill. Hey, Mark, come over here a minute. He said, stop up at Charles's. That was the Exxon up at Lookout, Charles Lair. He said, stop up and get your 10 gallon of gas. Take my truck. Going over to see a girl. Huh? $10 worth of gas. I'd put in that old 72 Chevrolet and I'd go over and I'd sit on the couch being sure on Paul G. PJ, is that not a nightmare? That's a nightmare. Every now and then, Daddy would say, y'all going anywhere? I said, well, you know, I ain't got no work right now. And here's $20. And I looked at $20, so gas, hamburger. We got to have gas first. Huh? That's how we courted. But it didn't matter. See, we don't worship because we're not getting nothing in the worship. Are you following me? Worship is going to have to be on my part. See, I didn't ask her if she adored me. I never asked you, do you love me? I've never asked you after 42 years of marriage. I've never asked you, do you love me? It don't matter. I'm going to love you whether you want me to or not. If you leave, I'm going to leave with you. You divorce me, it's okay. I'm going wherever you go. I just want you to know that. Another guy, it's going to be the three of us, but I'm going. Huh? I'm serious. Because I adore you. See, tonight we've forgotten him. We've forgotten to adore him for who he is. Not what he gives. See, I'm going to praise him for what he gives. I'm going to praise him for what he does. But I need to adore him for who he is. Huh? I need to adore him for who he is tonight. We okay? I just want to try to help us a little bit. I was asked what worship is. Worship is what I give. Now, Cheryl Ann didn't work. Paul G. wasn't. Y'all know Paul G. He wasn't going to give her no money. Never going to give me nothing. Nothing to give you nothing unless you all go somewhere. Huh? I worked, or Mooney and Daryl. First Christmas, we started courting December the 19th, 1980. Christmas time come. Well, I had to buy Cheryl a Christmas present. We just had started courting. I wasn't going to let her go without no Christmas present. So I talked to Mooney. I said, Mooney, I raked up some money. I don't know what it was, but I ain't going to say how much it was tonight, but it wasn't very much. And I said, I need you to drive me to Oak Hill. Because I didn't have no car, and I couldn't borrow the car, couldn't borrow the truck, only on Fridays, and Papa or somebody had to give me money for gas. See, I didn't have that. I didn't have that luxury. I didn't have the luxury of a phone. I didn't have the luxury of talking. I didn't have all that. I had to work everything around. Do y'all hear me? It was an effort for me to show her my love. So Mooney took me to Winders in Oak Hill. I don't know if anybody ever remembers. Some of y'all remember Winders in Oak Hill. And it was a gold bracelet. Had a little gold bar on it, a little gold chain. And I didn't have quite enough. And Mooney said, I'll help you. God bless Mooney. And we picked out that little thing. And boy, I couldn't wait to show her my love. At Christmas time come, she didn't get me nothing. She wasn't expecting me to get her anything. And I pulled out that present, boy, I was cheesing like a fat rat. Huh? Right? Are you hearing me? And Cheryl says, oh. And she put it on. And all that day, she looked at that bracelet. Because I had adored her with something that I had to sacrifice to give just to show her I loved her. And we said, Christmas Day, her and me and Paul G. Well, are you with me tonight? It's what I give him. And you say, well, I still don't understand. Well, the first time worship is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis chapter 22. So let's go look and see what it is. We okay tonight? Y'all okay with me tonight? Yeah. I'm talking to you about worship. I'm talking to you about extravagant love. I'm talking about adoration and adore. Huh? And I'm not ashamed in front of y'all to tell her. And I'm not telling you a tale tonight. Because you ask her if I don't do for you. Yeah. It's all because I love you.
Yeah,
I don't love nobody else. I can't tell you how much I love you. I have knelt down on my knees and laid my head in your lap and tell you how much I love you. And never expect a thing. Are you following me? Do you ever come to where he's at and kneel down and just love him because you love him? Christy, you didn't fall in love with Jerry when Becky was telling you about Jerry. You got excited, but you didn't fall in love. You're still falling in love. So are we. Every day, a little more. Kids are gone. Finances are better. Pressure's off. Grandbabies. And you still went to Muriel's by yourself. Why? Because you hate one another? No. Time spent. We okay? I'm about done. Huh? Genesis chapter 22. Y'all want to do all this praising? I've done been done. Genesis chapter 22. Let's read just a little bit, can we? And it came to pass, Genesis 22, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I, or here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. Verse 2 is the command to obey. I want you to notice that in this passage. That's a command to obey. He said, Abraham, this is what I want you to do. Everybody follow me? You got to remember this. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Now, verse 3. See, verse 2 is a command to obey, and that stands for submission. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that there ain't no worship unless there's some submission. Everybody still follow me?
Yes.
All right. Hey, Tom, in there on my copier, there's a paper that I copied and I forgot it. I need it. If you'll bring it to me. Everybody still with me?
Yes.
Verse 2 is a command to obey. That means submission. Verse 3, it's preparation to obey. Verse 2 is a command to obey. Verse 3 is a preparation to obey. You know what that stands for? Desire. You got to be willing to worship. There needs to be a desire to worship. Huh? See, I want you to understand, in my analogy with me and Cheryl Ann, Cheryl wasn't the only girl I knew. See, I went to Midland Trail. She went to Nicholas County. And I went to Midland Trail, and there was a bunch of girls at Midland Trail. They was pretty girls. Up in Nuttall, when I went to Nuttall, they was a bunch of pretty girls. All right? And then, going to church in Mount Lookout, I got to see a lot of them pretty girls that lived in Nicholas County. Huh? Thanks, sir. All right? But I had the purpose. See, I'd be at my neighbor's house playing ball on a dirt road. We didn't have no grass to play in. We had to play in the road. And we played football on the road, baseball on the road, basketball on the road, in a dirt road. You understand? tackle football on the dirt road. I mean, we didn't have no grass. We wasn't allowed to play in the grass because the grass kept the grass. Wasn't allowed to play in the grass. That's just the way it was. Anyway, Cheryl come up with her mommy and daddy to see my papa, and I decided them boys didn't need my playing. Or the beans didn't need picked, or the grass didn't need cut. It was time for me to go set at the table and Google Eye Cheryl across the living room, and I looked at her and she'd hang her down, and she'd look at me and I'd hang my head down. That was the way we looked at one another. Huh? Now I'm telling you that is because of the desire here. I'm talking 12-year-old, 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, 16-year-old. It wasn't just a December thing in 1980. Are you hearing me? Does everybody follow me tonight? There had to be a desire. There's submission to desire. Now let's lead on. We're going back here to Abraham. Hang with me now. I'm going somewhere with this if you'll pay attention. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? And come again to you. You know what Abraham was fixing to do, don't you? See, he had done got the command in verse 2. He submitted to the command. In verse 3, he had done made preparations to obey, and it was his desire to obey because of his love for God. And what he was getting ready to do was worship. But before he worshiped, he was going to take his only son, and he was going to stick a knife in his heart, and he was going to separate him and split him down the middle and separate his arms and his shoulders and his legs at the hips. And he was going to take his kidneys and everything out, and he was going to pile them and cut them and dissect him and put him on an altar of fire and offer him for a burnt offering to God. Because he loved him more than he loved his son. And more than he loved the promise. And more than he loved his wife Sarah, he loved his son because he adored God, whom he had never saw, who told him to go to a place he had never went and never been, to go follow a God he had never saw. But he loved him anyway. And he submitted to him. Huh? And he desired to show his love. Are you listening to me tonight? But he trusted him enough to know that after I dissect him and burn him, me and the boy will come back and we'll go back home. Because he knew his God was bigger than everything else. And that's the first place you find the word worship in the Bible. And it's not anything of what God did for Abraham, but it's what Abraham gave to God. There's your worship. Extravagant love to adore with extravagant love to give you the last cent, the last chicken leg, the last biscuit, the last anything. It matters not that you are the most important in my life today. Oh, but it's got to go deeper than that tonight. Are you listening to me tonight? What do we give Him? What do we give Him? We still okay? I looked up on the computer, heartfelt ways to prove your love to someone. Let me read them to you right quick. First, number one, now listen to me now. I got this off of Google. You ought to believe it now. I've read your Bible, but you'll believe Google. First, number one thing. If I'm going to show Him my love, the first thing I'm going to have to do is always be truthful. I'm going to have to always be truthful. Boy, I thought, wow, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. How about the second thing? Is don't be materialistic. value your experiences with him instead. How about put their needs before yours? And I said, yeah, not my will, but thy will be done. How about this one? If I want to show my love, my heartfelt love to prove it, how about I make sure I do what I say I'm going to do? You hearing me? How about we be their cheerleader in life? The sixth thing is, how about we just spend a little time? Spend a little time. I got a blessing today. I got a great blessing today. Can I tell you my blessing? My phone come on and said I spent 1 hour and 53 minutes less this week than I did last week. I said, yes, yes. We'd have a better time to worship if we throw our phones away. Seventh thing is, ask their advice. Now, this is his heart ways. This is not how to love God. This is how to love anybody. But I thought, well, this just fits the Lord so well. Instead of me telling God what I want, how about I just listen? How about number eight? How about we let him teach us something? I want to show, God, I want to show you how much I love you. I'm going to let you teach. I'm going to quit rebelling. I'm going to let you teach me something. How about number nine? We pay attention to what they don't say. Did you catch that? How about we pay attention to what they don't say? How about instead of demanding and trying to get clearance on what we've already done from God, why don't we just listen to what he ain't saying? We still all right? Number 10 was give praise. Number 11 was go ahead and give thanks. But number 12, how you show your love, how do you worship? I was asked, how do you worship? Make them our priority. I learned that. I'm still learning. Make it a priority. If I want to worship him, he's going to have to be my priority. Do you love him? You want to worship tonight? Invitations as I preach tonight. We can praise him. That's good. But we ought to worship. And we're not ever going to worship him until we give him what we love the most. That he gets it all. First place. Father, speak into our heart, I pray tonight. And I'll thank you for it all. Lord, it's all because of you. I do love you tonight. I want to honor you and adore you with extravagant love. And oh, I want to pay honor, give you glory, do your name. Please, oh God, help us tonight to come to you in worship, I pray. In Jesus' name. And amen.